The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown on Hoopball. I am your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. What else could you be with a name like that? You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. You can find my esteemed partner, the Haalander, Scotty Haaland, and he is at the Haalander 23 on Twitter. We are, of course, brought to you by Hoopball. That's hoop-ball.com. As ever, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. The amazing Hoopball Collective, the organization as a whole, doing great things. If you're not a member of any of the Hoopball packages you can sign up for, go and check them out. The Discord is absolutely going off. There's heaps of great stuff on there. And some of the great stuff on Discord and with Hoopball and just in general about basketball, a man with amazing knowledge of fantasy. And I know that because I've just been chatting with him pre-show. It is the one and the only Hank Aliasha, did I get the pronunciation right?
Yes.
Are you lying to make me feel good?
Yeah, well, usually I tell him just to say Aaron, so it makes it easier.
Yes, now your Twitter is Hank Aaron 2. How did you manage to get Hank Aaron 2?
So I guess the baseball player took the first one, but it's my name, and my parents, you know, didn't even watch baseball, but I got the same name, so.
It's funny that because sometimes my dad says he named me after Hank Aaron, although other times he says it's Elvis Aaron Presley, and then my mum once told me it's just because it was the first name in the name dictionary. Just open up page one, Aaron, two A's and Ron. Well, you can't complain about that. But anyway, yes, I am feeling very jolly today because we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. Just a little bit about your background first. Like, what's your fantasy sports background?
I've been with Hoopball for about 4 years now. I started writing with them and switched over to podcast the last couple of years. I dipped in a little bit on the gambling pods as well, but I'm just sticking to basketball for now.
Awesome. And how many fantasy teams have you got?
Got about... three basketball.
Wow. Okay. That's very reserved compared to people like me. I think I've got about 15, mind you.
Right. I've been cutting them back every year.
Mind you, some of mine are dynasty leagues. I think five or six of them are dynasty leagues, and most of my dynasty builds. And here's a little hot tip for people: if you want to do multiple leagues and not kill yourself with having to spend a lot of time on the leagues, if you go into win later builds, you don't have to pay so much attention. So pretty much all of my dynasty builds for the NBA are win later. So I'm not really having to pay attention on a daily basis. But those redrafts, I am cutting sick on the waiver wire at the moment, by the way. Today, I've got a couple of bids in for Lou Dort. I think I'm safe saying that because by the time people listen to this, the bids will have processed. What do you think about Lou Dort?
I think Dort is going to be a very hot pickup right now. Certainly worth taking a gamble on as far as the wire goes. Especially in my bigger money leagues, we are on a vote.
Fab?
Not Fab. We're not on Fab. We're on a wire order or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep. The rotating overall. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's hard to get a hot pickup, you know, so I try to scour them out earlier than the breakout and try to get them as soon as I can. Someone like Dort, he's going to be a hot pickup on the next one, I'm sure. And he's certainly worth taking a look at. Big game tonight and reasonably productive in the previous game as well. So certainly worth looking at.
Yes, and now one way that you can do better in your fantasy leagues is get the fantasy pass. The draft season is over, of course, and hopefully you Brewski 150'd your way to a hell of a team, but the season has just begun. On that, by the way, I did some drafts without the Brewski 150, and they haven't worked out quite as well as the ones where I did use that. The fantasy pass is still the best deal in the industry at just $4.99 a month, and now that we're in the regular season, there is zero commitment. That's right. You just sign up for 1 month for $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But you know what? We know you will love it. And that's Mr. Jolly here saying you will, because one of the things you get from it is you get access to the Discord chats where you can get one-to-one advice from some of the great people at Hoopball. And I've been absolutely going off like a frog in a sock with getting that advice. And I'm going to dominate my league. Sorry to my league mates listening, but watch out. Always nice to have that option of getting that advice. But more than that, the Fantasy Pass has everything else you need to dominate. Updated projections, fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups, drops, and of course the Discord server that I just mentioned, which is our newest and I think our very coolest feature. You can hang out with all the Hoopball pros around the clock and get one-on-one help with your team. So please do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. My God. hoop-ball.com and click on the Fantasy Pass ad just before the main media wall. And please don't fire me, Aaron Brewski, after that. But you know what? hoop-ball.com. Get over there. That was just my excuse to say it a few times. So
Exactly. Good marketing.
There you go. Let's jump into the games. And then at the end, if we've got time, I want to read out the sort of top 20 names for you and get you to make some comments on that. But before I do that, let's just jump in to the games, or sorry, to the kind of hottest news from the day, I guess, which is the Ja Morant injury. Also, we've got fallout from Dinwiddie, those kind of things. I think we'll just handle those in the games as we go through. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you about some of these top 20 players. Shall we jump into it?
Yes.
All right, so the first game was the Detroit Pistons up against the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks won by 128 points to 120. A nice high-scoring game, which we like to see if we own players from those fantasy teams. On the Detroit Pistons side, Jeremy Grant. My goodness gracious me. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 3 for 8 from deep, 6 for 6 from the foul line. He is currently the number 26 player in fantasy on a per-game basis. Do you believe in it?
I think he's going to be a great value this year. I don't think he's going to stay that high, but I think a lot of the numbers that he's putting up are more or less within range. The points might be a little bit high, but I think he's still looks like a pretty good bet to go at least 17, 18 a game. Again, the threes might be a little bit high, but if you look at it last year, he had 11 minutes fewer per game, and he still had almost 1.5 threes. So most of the statistics look sustainable to me. Possibly his free throw shooting may have some regression. So if that's not a true long-term improvement, you could see some regression there, and his turnover will certainly be higher. But if you drafted him as a top 100 guy, you're going to get a really nice return on investment.
Yeah, I got him in that. I got him in two leagues in the 80 to 90 range. Should I be happy with that?
I think so. I think he'll outperform those. I mean, you can see what the upside is. And then even if he settles down a little bit, I think he's still going to be at least top 75 by the end of the year.
Plus,
he's a durable player too. Let's not discount that in this year where we've already seen half a dozen or a dozen players get rested.
Now, of course, Blake was not playing today. I think it's possible that he gets traded at some point during the season. Shout out to Danny and my Detroit Pistons buddy who is like, please, Blake, don't get injured before we trade you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they want to trade him. But you know, Grant's playing well, and I think we'll see him keep that up.
Now, one of the things that might be helping Grant is playing next to Mason Plumlee, who had another nice line, only 9 points, but 12 rebounds, 6 assists from the center position. He didn't stink it up at the foul line. You hope he doesn't go there too much, don't you? He just was 1 from 1 from the foul line, 4 for 4 from the field. So low volume, but no damage to the percentages. In fact, the opposite. He is another value one, currently ranked 28th on a per game basis.
Yeah, so I mean, all of it is sustainable, and I think all of it will be sustained except for the free throw shooting. So the free throw shooting is something that it's been very bad in the past. He's been a career, in the 50s on his career. So and I don't think he's truly improved to 100%. So I think he's likely to go back to that place, but. You know, he's somebody that's going to give you a decent amount of assists from the center position. He did it before. He had last year in Denver, he had 2.5 assists in only 17 minutes a game. So if his minutes double up, then it's, not unreasonable that he'll double up his assists or even go slightly higher than that. So I think there's going to be serious regression with his free throw percentage. His field goal percentage is probably not going to remain around 78 either. But again, if he's somebody you took at the end of your draft, you took him around 120, 130, 140, all that kind of stuff. He's going to be a great, you know, high percentage field goal player. Good rebounds, good blocks. He has no blocks so far this year, but he'll get some decent blocks. He'll get you some steals, and he'll get you some assists. So he's a good end of the bench guy. He's going to hurt your free throw percentage, but he's a good end of the bench guy to give you blocks, rebounds, and assists. It's a interesting combination that very few players will give you.
Now, of course, he's someone that was also on the waiver wire in some leagues. I think I picked him up off the wire just over the weekend in two leagues. Another person who has been on the waiver wire, if he wasn't taken late in drafts or might have been drafted and dropped, is DeLon Wright. After the game he had today, now, of course, we're only talking about, you know, three games. He's currently the 79th player on a per-game basis. His line today was 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 2 steals and 2 blocks. Hit a 3 as well. 7 for 8 from the foul line. DeLon Wright in just 21 minutes looks like a six-man of the year competitor light. I mean, obviously, he's not going to win it, but that's a six-man of the year type line.
He's got a great stat set for fantasy, and he showed it last year. Unfortunately, his role was smaller. He didn't get consistent minutes. He wasn't necessarily the biggest part of the offense, but he's done it before in limited minutes. He's shown that he's got the stats set for fantasy, and again, he's another guy, end of your bench. If you took him at the end of the draft, 10th round, 11th round, even 9th round, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what he does this year.
Now, quick compare. Would you pick him up off the wire or Lu Dort if you had a choice of one? Who do you put in your stack first?
Probably take Wright. I think Dort has more upside, but I don't know what's going to happen with him. I think Wright is a pretty solid bet to get you roughly what he's giving you now.
Right, and Dort could completely drop off potentially. Is that the worry?
Yep.
Even though right now, Dort is the 19th on a per game basis in fantasy.
Look, it's if you wanna roll the dice, it's fine. I mean, if your strategy is you're taking someone at the end of the bench and you want the upside that comes with Dort, fine. You know, try it out, see what happens. But I think a lot of it is a couple of hot shooting games, and he's likely to regress. But he could still be a good player. But let's see what happens. You know, I don't. Last year he shot 39%.
Yeah.
How much do you think he's going to really improve off of that? Maybe he does. Maybe he's put in the work and he'll be a 50% guy or 47 or 48% guy. But more likely is he regresses, and if he's shooting in the low 40s and he's not scoring this many points, his value's not. But Wright, I think. Sorry,
I was just saying his floor is more like Dort's floor is more like a streamer for like defensive categories and a few rebounds and maybe a bit of everything. But so his ceiling is obviously maybe even top 50, whereas you think Wright is a safe bet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fair summary. You know who is also a safe bet? I reckon a safe bet for top 10 value this season, and I hope he does because I drafted him, and that is Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks. He had 29 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. He hit 2 three-pointers, and my God, he was 15 for 15 from the foul line. And I say that with just complete delight because I own Trae Young in a few leagues. Wow. He's currently, I think, the 6th or 7th ranked player. He's 8th on a per-game basis.
Yep. I agree. He'll be pushing top 10. You know, it's the numbers are there. You know, there's nothing is obviously fluky here, right? There's nothing here that stands out as, you know, we're going to see a big regression here. So I think he'll be there. He'll be pushing for top 10, certainly.
Now, what about the rest of the Hawks? It's all a bit of a mess, isn't it, if you look at this? So where do you start? Bogdan Bogdanovic had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. John Collins, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 for 6 from the foul line, but just 26 minutes for John Collins. DeAndre Hunter, 32 minutes. But again, these are the kind of lines you'll get from him. He's really a streamer for me. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He hit 3-3, so it's not a bad end of your roster kind of guy. Clint Capella was back today, only had 20 minutes. He had 7 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 very tasty blocks. It's all a bit messy, isn't it, in Atlanta, apart from Trae Young?
It is, but I think there's a lot of value there. I think Collins is going to put up better numbers for the rest of the year. I think Capella, if he's healthy, will be a good player. And then Bogdanovic can be a decent end of your roster guard as well. So Bogdanovic, I think, is an 8th-round value so far this year. He'll probably won't maintain that level, but he'll, I think, maintain at least, you know, top 100, top 110 kind of value. Collins right now is barely inside the top 50. I think he's a strong bet to end up in the top 30 and possibly higher than that. And Capella is also, he's a top 60 guy. If he can stay healthy, I'm concerned about his health. He missed a lot of time last year. He's got foot injuries. He's a big guy. There's a lot of risk factors there, but of course, the more risk there is on him, the better John Collins looks as a long-term proposition. So I think there's a number of good players on Atlanta. Hunter, Reddish, you know, these guys, Huerta also, these guys last year, occasionally they flashed. I'm not too high on any of them, but they can all be useful players. And if you need their stats, you know, you could plug and play with any of them.
And the next game on the five-game slate from today was the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant after he got hurt just for the 12 minutes we got from him against the Brooklyn Nets. The Grizzlies got up in overtime in a squeaker, 116 to 111. Now, Ja, he only had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. That's kind of beside the point. We just wonder how badly hurt he is. Apparently, the x-rays came back negative. I was trying to explain that to my daughter, that x-rays negative is actually a good thing. Normally, negative is a bad word. It's like, negative? What? Negative? Is he hurt? Yeah. No, he's okay, darling. Exactly. Don't worry. Your lovely man, Jar, is okay. Now, he had a moon boot sitting on the bench at the end of the game. No idea how long he's going to be out for at this point, but what does that change in terms of value for other players at the Grizzlies?
Well, it really opens things up for Kyle Anderson, probably gives more usage for Jonas. Grayson Allen has gotten a couple of starts, but he hasn't produced much. Dylan Brooks produced a ton tonight. So there's just going to be a lot more usage to go around. It's also probably going to reduce everyone's efficiency, but again, Jonas is going to be a high field goal percentage regardless. I think with Kyle Anderson, he's always been a guy that's on the fringe of the fantasy radar just because of his ability to give assists and steals. So he's someone that I've you know, I've picked up even when he hasn't been a high producer. So I like that he's producing a lot now. I wouldn't fall in love with him at this level because I have owned him many times, and I know it's, you know, 20-point games is not a common occurrence. But I think he, especially with Morant out, he's going to be a playmaker, and he's going to have 12-team value. So I think he's worth an add if he's available in your league.
Yeah, he's top 54. Sorry to jump in. He's top 55 at the moment, 28 points, seven rebounds, three assists, and he hit 6 for 8 from the foul line and 4 threes as well, which is big value. Another one you touched on was Dylan Brooks, 24.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 47.4% from the field. If Dylan Brooks gets 47% from the field, you should get yourself a birthday cake because it's like a second birthday if that guy is getting 47%. Another one who was better today that you didn't mention was Brandon Clark. A lot of people very upset and burning their Brandon Clark basketball cards. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal today. He hit 1 3 as well, 6 for 11, 28 minutes as well. Potentially, could he even benefit from less Jar?
I think they all can benefit from a scoring perspective. You know, he's a guy that was probably on most people's radars before, and he'll still be there. He had a bad start to the season, but he looked better tonight. And I think he'll be a 12-team guy.
Mm.
And then we didn't even mention Tyus Jones, right? He's now a guy to add.
Yeah, no, I added him in a couple of leagues. It was a little bit dodgy today because he was in 34 minutes, which is exciting. He was 4 for 12 from the field, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Probably a bit of a shock to suddenly come in and be running the show for the whole game. We can assume he probably gets better and what ends up at something like 15, 5, and 6 or 7 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was productive in the past, right? So in Minnesota, when they would give him minutes, he could score, he could get assists, you know, shoot some threes, get steals. So I like him. If he has a big role, he's probably going to be have a negative effect on your field goal percentage, but he'll give you points, assists, steals, a little bit of three-pointers, and he's a fairly efficient guy from a turnover perspective. So I think he's a guy, assuming Jaws out for at least a couple of months, I think he's a must add.
Yeah, and that makes me feel good because I grabbed him in some competitive cash leagues this afternoon here in Australia because, of course, we're the next day here. One of the advantages about being Australia, I think, is a lot of people on the East Coast in the States have gone to bed and they might not be seeing what's happening on the West Coast, or they just fall asleep before they can put their bids in. And if you're in daily changes leagues, it's definitely the place to be. Where you lose out though is like on the games that are on the Saturday matinee games or Sunday games when they're really early in the day, because that's like 3 o'clock in the morning here. So you lose out there, but you win on most days.
Yeah, there's some good, some bad.
Now, what about on the Brooklyn Nets side? This is a place where we get really excited, isn't it, about Caris LeVert. He had 28 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists, 5 steals, 2 threes. It was 12 of 29 from the field. Now, obviously, he's not going to get 29 shots when Kyrie and KD are playing. He is right now the 58th ranked player on a per-game basis. Where does he end up settling down to when he's playing with the other guys? And I guess he's really going to go off for Roto. He's absolutely going to go off when these guys rest, isn't he? So can he finish top 60 in Roto?
Top 60, he may. I think I don't think he'll get there, he's certainly it's not outside of the question. And really, I think he would need a big injury to either Kyrie or Kevin Durant to do that. I don't know where he was being drafted in most drafts, but I think he was being overlooked. And I think he's got a lot of upside. And even if he doesn't finish as a top 60 guy cumulatively on the year, I think there is a decent chance that he'll be a top 60 player by the end of the season, because I don't trust Durant and Irving to both finish out the season healthy. So he may not cumulatively get to top 60, but I think by the end of the year, especially, you know, if you're in a playoff format, he's definitely a guy I would be targeting, because he's going to have a lot of potential at the end of the season.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned about the playoffs and what you look forward to and picking up certain kinds of players. You would think that the Nets would be taking a lot of caution in April with KD and Kyrie. If they have any little niggles, they will sit. They'll sit all those back-to-backs together at the same time by the looks of it. So depending on what sort of matchups they've got in those playoff weeks, LeVert could very much have value, like you're saying.
Yeah, I think, like, if you look at the, you know, I don't know when the fantasy playoffs are going to be this year, but late February, March, if you look at those few weeks, maybe the few weeks before that, I think he'll be a top 60 player in that frame of time. So
they're actually,
you know, to answer maybe what your question was really asking, I think he's a very valuable guy, and I would be targeting him heavily. Not right now, because you're not going to, if you don't have him, you're not going to be able to trade for him right now. So you got to wait for some poor performances and smaller role games and things like that. But he's somebody I'd be eyeing.
And also, he is potentially a sell high. I have him in two places, and I might try and flog him in one of those places, as we see down here, see if I can snaffle myself back some value. Other good performance today for the Nets. Joe Harris is another one who benefited. He got 13 shots up from his normal number of shots. He had 14 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. DeAndre Jordan, only 4 points, but he had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. I have him in a couple of leagues. People were talking about him as a drop. I don't want to drop 4 blocks and 9 rebounds.
No, I mean, it's hard to find blocks on the wire. So if you need a block specialist, you can use Jordan. But you have to need the blocks. If you don't, then he's not contributing much elsewhere.
No, he is not. Taurean Prince does not look like an add. There isn't really much else to add there. It's just, if you have LeVert, congratulate yourself. Maybe Joe Harris might be on a few wires. I saw him floating around. He is somebody to pick up. I think the extra usage he gets from Dinwiddie being out maybe sort of ticks him in front of people like Redick and people like that, 3-point streamers.
Exactly.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, that's it. If you need a 3-point streamer, add him.
Okay.
He can be used in that capacity.
Yes, I haven't seen him on many wires, but I do have him in a couple of places, and I will be holding on to him.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The thing that... Oh, sorry, this is why I'm going to pause here and cut this out. 1 second. Get to the right one, promo-wise. Okay, here it is. So support for the Box Score Breakdown is, of course, brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below the belt grooming. Big news, Manscaped has just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew that smelling this good could feel this good too? Everybody knows that Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your below-the-belt grooming needs, but they didn't stop there. They've combined their grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent from Manscaped. With the same signature scent that's on all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. It is light, approachable, and gentlemanly. We love to be gentlemanly down here in Sydney in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman for the night to keep you fresh and ready for anything. Calm and inviting, this signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling into the anchoring notes of vetiver and a woodsy masculine finish. My goodness, that does sound good. This 50ml spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. So you will impress your better half with your very progressive nature as well. Also, be sure to check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming needs, including the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer and crop formulations. Yes, I'm talking about ball deodorant and toner to keep your testes right as your besties. And now you can use the new Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set and smell great anytime, anywhere. It's time to feel sexy. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls and your body will thank you. So that is the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That gets you 20% off with the free shipping. HOOPBALL20. The next game on the slate was the Utah Jazz, which are co-owned by an Australian billionaire. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I know they were recently purchased.
Yeah, so a couple of Aussie tech billionaires are part of the purchasing group for that. The Utah Jazz, and they did run out winners by just 1 point today against the OKC Thunder, 110-109 for the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell had 20 points, 5 assists, 1 steal, just 2 for 10 from deep. Don Mitchell is the 139th ranked player in fantasy basketball right at the moment. A lot of people were drafting him as high as the third or the fourth round. Was that a bit hasty?
No, I think if you wanted him, you needed to take him there. Obviously, his field goal percentage is leaves a lot to be desired, but the rest of the package is pretty good. He's going to score, get assists, threes, defensive stats are there. Plus, he's also, again, he's a durable guy. So, you know, he's done this in the past where he's started off slow. He's had efficiency issues in the past, but my guess is he will turn it around and he will end up being a top 50 guy at least.
Mm. Okay, so top 50 for him. A guy who is pushing top 50 at the moment, the next person I wanted to read out is Mike Conley. He had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, very close to a triple-double. He also had 1 steal, 1 block, 2 threes, 8 for 15 from the field. He's the 65th ranked player right now. Mike Conley, is this improvement real? Because last year he was, as we say in Australia, A-R-S-E, arse.
I mean, most of it is it's in line with his previous numbers, you know, before last year. Last year, he took a big dive. Now his rebounding right now is high. His rebounding is high to the point of it's not going to be anywhere near six at the end of the season. His threes are high, but only a slight amount, you know, higher than expected. The big difference last year was that his field goal percentage really went down. His scoring really went down. It's not unreasonable to think he'll tick up from 14. And if he gets his percentage back up to his historical norm, I think he's a good bet to be a top 100 player this year. I think that's a safe place for him, but that assumes he plays. So he does carry injury risk, and the issue with him, I think, will be more. I think his positive regression from last year, I think, makes sense, but you know, you got to be careful still with the injuries with him.
Mm. Someone else who is doing very well this season, in fact, he's the 22nd ranked player in fantasy on a per game basis, is Rudy Gobert. He had 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 4 of them tasty blocks, 6 for 8 from the field. Rudy Gobert is looking very, very good indeed. Jordan Clarkson is the 86th ranked player in basketball, in fantasy basketball at the moment. He had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And what you get him for is his 3-point shooting. He was 2 for 5. His percentages are very good too, 4 for 4 from the foul line. He looks like a decent guy that you stream in and maybe hold.
You could stream him for points and threes if that's what you need. He's shown in the past, he's around top 150, even with good scoring and good three-pointers. Right now, some of his, you know, other, you know, his percentages are a little bit higher than they normally would be. So I think that's artificially inflating his rank. But again, they're not so much higher than normal. And I think he'll probably be around that top 100 to 150 range. End of bench guy for points and threes. And, you know, sometimes I hear people say it's easy to get points and threes off the wire, but I don't think it is. I think points is actually the hardest category usually to get off the wire. So, you know, he's a good guy to hold on to because you're not likely to get someone who scores, you know, 18 points a game off the wire. You know, he's probably going to be a little bit lower than that, but you're not going to find even 16, 17 points on the wire in most competitive 12-team leagues. So I'd keep him as a points and three-pointer specialist.
Joe Ingles had a crappy game today. He was 4 points, four rebounds, three assists, only had four shots. That happens to him every now and then, doesn't it, where just suddenly in Utah there are so many chefs who can cook there that he doesn't get the shots. But is he still a hold?
He's a hold if you value him at you know where he is, right? So right now he's under 150. He's an end of bench guy in a 12-team league. He's not going to hurt you in the percentages. He's not going to hurt you in turnovers. He's going to chip in with assists. He's going to give you a couple threes, steals. Really, he's there for the assists. If you want an assist specialist, you can hold on to him. If you're already good in assists, you can get rid of him. But again, assists is a tough category, right? So I like him as a 12th or 13th guy on a 12-team roster. But if you have the option to cut him for a high upside player, go for it.
Lugens Dort. Wow. For the OKC Thunder, 26 points, just two rebounds and one assist, but he had two steals. He does get those defensive categories. 5 for 7 from deep, 9 for 11 from the field. Obviously, some of that's unsustainable, as is the fact that he, like we said before, the 19th player in fantasy basketball. We did touch on him already. Is he somebody that you sell high on if you got him?
If you could get something of value, yes.
And what would that be? Like a 75? You would take a top 75 guy back?
Yeah, I would take a top 75 guy.
What about?
I mean, let me give you a name.
Yeah, right?
Let's look at what we have. Would I take OG Anunoby ahead of him? Yes. Kyle Lowry, of course. Drew Holiday, of course. I mean, these guys happen to be low.
Yeah.
We don't consider these guys. Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, Chetty Osman, I wouldn't take. Bam, of course. Deontay Murray, Mike Conley. I would take Mike Conley over him.
What about Harrell from the Lakers?
I would take Harrell over him.
Yeah. Dante DiVincenzo?
I'll take Dante over
him. Yeah, yeah. So that kind of gives you an idea about the value. I think sometimes people go a bit nuts with their ads and drops, but you don't want to get overexcited and screw things up because if he goes...
Well, because, I mean, when you see someone like Dort, especially when you see their ranking is so high, you're like, all right, well, you know, and because it's a season-long ranking, right? So it's all the season, he's top 20. How much worse can he get? But, I mean, it's really a couple of good games and a couple of hot shooting nights, so... It doesn't seem sustainable.
Before we look at the other half of this game, now is the time to get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where odds boost, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. And with the NFL playoffs right around the corner, in fact, I know they are because I just won some fantasy NFL leagues this week. In fact, four of them. How about that? We know who those teams are, or we will do very, very soon. We know what they're capable of, and it's not difficult to find some value in the lines. Whether you're a first-time customer or you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there is no shortage of value to be found in thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests that they offer every week. Sign up or get reloaded today, find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. They also boast a fully-fledged casino platform giving you access to all the classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at your local spot. And the best part is, at MyBookie, the doors never close, so you can continue to build your bankroll even after all the stadium lights have gone out. Make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use the promo code HOOPBALL to get your deposit matched halfway all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in 200, they match you with the other 100 in your account. If you were already planning to bet this season, and that's important, if you got the money to bet and you're planning to bet, this is free betting money that you can get. Gamble responsibly, but do it with something really good like mybookie.ag. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come and join on in the fun and win some cash while you're at it. Now, this is where I need to apologize and say you're stuck just with me because we lost Hank, our guest, to the gremlins of the internet. Oh, I'm not exactly sure what, so it's just going to be you and me. Let's get down and get intimate and talk about the other half of the OKC game against Utah, and then we will look at the other two games on the slate today as well, and I'll run through the box for you. So for the OKC Thunder, we already talked about Lugans Dort, 26 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 9 for 11 from the field, 5 for 7 from deep. Wowee. He's the 19th player in fantasy, as I talked about. Obviously, he's not going to stick there. If you can get something back by way of like top 75 for Lou Dort or top 80, I'm sure you would do it, but he's definitely worth a waiver wire grab. I spent $33 on him today. Also for the OKC Thunder, Darius Bazley had 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 1 block. He had 33 minutes. Oh, you should be very happy, like me, if you got him towards the end of drafts. I've got a few Darius Bazleys. I think he's probably my third or fourth most held guy at the moment, probably after Bridges, Harden. I've got a lot of James Harden as well. Al Horford had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 3 three-pointers. He's looking like a top 80 lock. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 23 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. He was 9 for 21 from the field and 1 for 7 from three-point land. He's currently ranked 123rd, which is pretty weird. You probably shouldn't worry too much. I think, look, he might not return that top, you know, end of first round, beginning of the second round value for you, but we should be patient. Those shooting percentages, I'm sure, will improve, but he's still looking good. George Hill is somebody who you probably consider picking up off the wire if he's around still. He's ranked 42nd right now. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He was 4 or 5 from the foul line. He missed his shots from three-point land, which is a bit disappointing, but he looks like somebody that's worth considering grabbing from your wire if he's still there and you need some points and threes and maybe a few assists as well. And now over to the next game, and it was the Houston Rockets going down to the Denver Nuggets by a score of 124 points to 111. Now, of course, the Houston Rockets are still much depleted, but let's have a look at their box to start off with. And of course, we have to start with the number one player in fantasy on a per-game basis. What were we worried about? It was James Harden, 34 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 9 for 9 from the foul line. My goodness, his foul shooting. I think he's 24 for 24 in these two games. 5 for 9 from deep, 10 for 16 from the field. Even that field goal percentage is right up there. Pretty incredible stuff from James Harden. It still remains to be seen what happens with trades and things like that. And he might lose a little bit of usage when we get John Wall back, but pretty incredible. Another person who is incredible is Christian Wood. He had 23 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, a bit light on the rebounds, but he made up for that from the 3-point line where he was 4 for 5 from deep. He was 9 for 20 from the field. For a big man, his field goal percentage is maybe going to be a little bit down, but it makes up for it with those threes, doesn't he? He is currently top 15 guy in fantasy. Now, we don't expect that to hold, but if you drafted him in the fourth round, you are feeling very, very good about that. There's probably nothing else worth reading aloud on the Rockets side because, as Dan said in his tweet storm, which is now inside Discord today, we cannot handicap the Nuggets until we see their entire team play. A team that we can handicap a bit is the Denver Nuggets. On the other side of the ball, Michael Porter Jr., big breakout guy this season, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 for 11 from the field, 2 for 6 from deep. He is looking top 50 material all the way to the bank if you got him there. In fact, I received a trade off of him. Shout out to White Chocolate, David Ralph, who tried to pry Kyrie away from me and Michael Porter Jr. at the same time using Devin Booker and something, I think it was James Wiseman. Close but no cigar, mate. I'm holding on to Kyrie. Paul Millsap, old man squad, Paul Millsap, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 for 4 from deep. Dan joked today, again, in his tweet storm in Discord, and this is the kind of stuff, one of the things you get from the Fantasy Pass if you subscribe, reviews of the games by Dan or by Kingy from the Hoopball editorial team at the end of the day, looking for value. Old man squad Paul Millsap looks like somebody who's playing like a guard, according to Dan. He was playing out in the perimeter, of course, only 3 rebounds. Equaled his rebounds with 3s, 7 for 8 from the field. I don't think he's going to provide the value that he provided today if he's only going to have 8 shots at 87.5%, but still looks a decent grab off the waiver wire where I got him. Jamal Murray had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a 7 for 14 from the field, 4 for 6 from the 3-point line, only 3 for 7 at the foul line, which is a bit disappointing for a guard of his shooting ability. He's another one a bit like D. Mitch, who is way down in the ranks at the moment, was possibly overdrafted, will, because of his just amazing performance in the bubble, but we'll see how it goes. Of course, I'm saving the best for last with the Nuggets, aren't I? Nikola Jokic. My God, whatever happened this year, 2020 was bad for a lot of people. It wasn't bad for Nikola Jokic. I reckon he probably missed out on his mum's cooking in the summer, and he's looking very sprightly, isn't he? 19 points, 12 rebounds, 18 assists. My goodness gracious me. Only 2 for 3 from the foul line. Surprising. They wish they couldn't get near him. He's moving like grease lightning, so they couldn't actually foul him. That is a pretty incredible line, isn't it? On just 11 shots. Wow. I feel a lot of regret that I took Cat at 3 in a few drafts where I could have got Jokic every time. Wow. I did say he looked so good, didn't he, in the preseason warm-up games. He just looked like so sprightly and spry. Maybe we should have just gone and grabbed him. But at the moment, he is the 4th player on per game in fantasy, and he just seems to be so durable, touch wood, possibly even ends up beating that, depending on how Cat goes anyway. And we don't know how many games AD is going to play. Jokic could touch them. Gary Harris had 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 2 of 6 from deep. He is probably just a streaming option. Will Barton is somebody who popped up today. People were asking about dropping Will Barton for Lou Dort. I reckon that's a possibility, isn't it? He had 11 points, 4 rebounds. He was 1 for 4 from deep and 5 for 12 from the field. He's a guy who's been top 80. Top 70 even. Last season for stretches, he was top 50, top 60 when there were injuries and his usage went off the charts. But you see today, just 22 minutes. You know, I would consider dropping him for a hot streamer coming through like a Lou Dort, for example. And before we get to the last game of the day, I just need to remind you about the Bruise Letter. It's a fun one. It's free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff, and the Bruise Letter, well, it's back this season. If you haven't got into it, you need to get into it. Our founder, Aaron Bruschi, writes an email newsletter filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's intimate, but it's massive. If you like a long read and you want to win your league, it's just great stuff. It's exclusive content. He doesn't do it anywhere else. It's not on the website where he barely writes these days. He doesn't come on many pods. This is where you get Aaron Bruschi straight to your inbox. The only place where you can get it, go to bit.ly/bruiseletter, B-R-E-W-S, bruise. Letter, Bruise like multiple beers at once, Bruise Letter 2021, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/bruiseletter, B-R-E-W-S, letter 2021, Aaron Bruschi, straight to your inbox. Last game of the day, and it was a crackerjack game. Portland beating the Lakers 115 to 107. And I say crackerjack because there's a lot of fantasy stuff to talk about. Firstly, CJ McCollum is currently returning first round value, much to Dan's surprise and just about everybody in fantasy. But 20 points, 2 rebounds, 11 assists. Where do those assists come from? 3 for 3 from the line, 3 for 10 for deep, from deep. So the 3-point shooting was a bit off, but if he hits one more of them at 40%, you're happy. 7 for 21. CJ McCollum, wowie zowie. He is probably a sell high, though, isn't he? If you could get third round back for CJ, I would certainly consider it. Damian Lillard is a first round guy that I have in a couple of places, and I'm happy with that because he is solid as an absolute rock. 31 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 for 6 from the foul line where he was perfect, 5 for 10 from deep. You love those 3-pointers from Damian, don't you? 10 from 16, very, very efficient from Dame Dollar. There was other big stuff happening in Portland as well, and it was coming off the bench from Gary Trent Jr. He was absolutely insane. 28 points on 10 for 14 from the field, 7 for 11 from deep. Gee, he was so unconscious. They were wheeling him out in a wheelchair just about. But he's still not an ad, according to most people in the know. You might, if you've got some absolute, you know, worthless stuff at the end of your roster, you might consider Gary Trent Jr., but probably you shouldn't lose your mind. People who are losing their mind are Yusuf Nurkic owners. He only had 6 points, but just steady on a little bit because he had 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Bizarrely only had 5 shots and only played 23 and a half minutes. He is a buy low. I do regret taking him over Vucevic, Dan. You were right about that, but I'm not selling him right now. I am holding on to my couple of Yusuf Nurkic stocks. And if you have him, you should hold on. See if you can dangle something out there to get there. Again, if you were in the tweet storm in Discord today, you would see Dan talking about, you know, throw a fifth round or something at him, a fifth round or a sixth round. Like, see if you could throw out Miles Turner. He's off the charts at the moment because he had that 8-block game. If you could get Nurkic for Miles Turner, you'd probably do that every day, don't you? Robert Covington, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. He missed all of his shots from deep, 0 from 5. He's a bit hot and cold with his shooting, but those are 4 stocks, 3 steals and a block is why you hold on to him. Again, do not sell low on Robert Covington. You will regret it. And for the last half game, we turn to the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James, gee, he's just money, isn't he? 27 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. 11 for 18 from the field is gorgeous. 3 for 5 from deep. He's just developed that long-range shooting as well now, hasn't he? 2 for 3 from the foul line. Anthony Davis was a bit quieter in his 35 minutes. He had 13 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. Only 13 shots, 6 for 13 from the field, probably just easing his way in after that shortest offseason of all time. A couple other interesting things. Dennis Schroeder, a guy I traded away in Dynasty for Rashawn Holmes. Don't regret that, but gee, he's been good in the Lakers, better than people thought, hasn't he? 24 points. He was perfect at the foul line where he was 7 for 7, 8 for 15. He's just so efficient. Starting from last season, he's just been so efficient everywhere. And you, so you can't complain about that. You can't complain about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Don't pulp him. Don't put him in the pulper because he got 4 from 5 from deep for you. He is a 3-point streamer, which is what I'm doing with him at the moment. Montrezl Harrell had a down game, 7 points. He had only 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Quiet game, and you probably get some of those from him every now and then just because there are so many people to feed in LA. Kuzma called off. That's why you don't go crazy about Kuz. He just had 6 points on 2 of 9 shooting. Gee, did we have to end the show on a dud note like that? Let's maybe just end the show by having a look at the top 20 people in fantasy right now. James Harden, 1. McCollum is 2 on a per game. Kyrie Irving at 3. Jokic, Karl Towns per game. Obviously, he's injured. There's a bit of concern. Chris Middleton, he's an interesting one, isn't he? You could probably sell high on him or be very happy if you drafted him. Number 7 is Chris Boucher. Chris Boucher Boucher, the water boy. There's my daughter laughing at my pronunciation. Trey Young is 8. Miles Turner is 9 because of those blocks. Kevin Durant, Oladipo, and Joel Embiid in the second round. Christian Wood, Garland, my goodness. Kawhi Leonard, Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan, Goran Dragic. He obviously won't stay there, but he's got off to a hot start. There's Lou Dort. McCall Bridges, my most owned guy. Don't you love that when you see him at ranking 20? Stephen Curry, up from that 100 where he was. I think we can take away some of the fear about him. Rudy Gobert, Terry Rozier, and Alec Burks. Said I'd end on a positive. Alec Burks of the New York Knicks currently the 20th best player on a per game basis in fantasy, tied with Brandon Ingram and Jeremy Grant. That is it for today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Shout out to Hank. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye because we lost him in the middle. He will be back again from us regularly on a Monday, which is great. And I'll be back tomorrow with the one and the only Pedro Dureste, looking at breakout players and rest of season value. He has some great names for you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for putting up with me. And I am just going off like a frog in a sock here over McCall Bridges. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.